Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
Welcome to The Verdict 2020 here on TalkSport, the show featuring stars brighter than Jurgen Klopp's teeth and opinions more divisive than Andy Goldstein's Alice Band. I'm Natalie Sawyer, co-host of The Weekend Sports Breakfast, and throughout this show, many of the most famous voices from TalkSport are going to take you through the best moments in sport from 2020. And where better to start than with the kings of drive time radio? I'm talking Adrian Durham and Darren Goff.
Goffy, it's a happy festive time after a difficult year, isn't it?
It's been a very difficult year, but you know, some as far as our broadcasting careers go, I've been pretty pleased with it. it's been testing times. We did the shows in separate houses.
Yep.
It wasn't easy, but we came up with some great features along the way, didn't we?
I think so. I think the main thing at the start of it all, I think, was to try and just lift people's spirits a little bit. And I'd like to think we managed to do that. There were some good old sing songs along the way. We did the Bond films as well, didn't we? And there was some great sporting guests that we had on, and non-sporting guests that we had. And I'd probably say, I remember Sir Nick Faldo being on. That was probably my favourite one.
It was, talking about his dog in the kitchen. That was good. My favourite actual interview was Peter Schmeichel.
Oh, yeah. He was great, wasn't he?
It's the emotion and passion talking about playing for his country, talking about playing for Manchester United as well, and regrets the way it ended, really.
I could have possibly had played on for many, many years had I cut back a little bit on the pride of having, you know, spoken to the manager about it, but I didn't. I was too proud of you know, my position, and that's something you realize when you get into your middle 50s, that, you know, you look back and you think, young man said, you probably should have, and I didn't. And it's not a regret as such, but it is a regret, and I hope that makes sense. You look back and think, I love the football club so much. Why would I want to leave? But I was worn out at the time, and I don't think I had a clear head to make a decision like that.
It was such a honest and good interview. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, could have gone on for 3 hours. That interview, it was absolutely wonderful. And let me remind you of the Daily Bond, the best film, because we rated them out of 10, didn't we?
Can you remember what was yours?
I can't remember. I absolutely do. It was the very first one we did. It's the modern version of Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
I think we gave it 10 out of 10, didn't we?
I think we both give it 10.
Wonderful film. Anyway, some good memories during difficult times. And if you think about sporting memories, because there has, believe it or not, been some sport in 2020, what was your highlight?
Well, besides getting football back, because that was such a big thing at the time, wasn't it? I remember being on air talking about it for the first time. It was like, wow, I was so excited. But I'm going to go down the golf route, Aid. I really am, for a couple of reasons. And it's the Masters. It was a winter Masters, and everybody was not quite sure how it was going to work out. I thought the players thought it was always going to be easier. The greens, although they were remained quick, they weren't as quick as they normally are. So people expected, with the rain around, the greens would be softer going into the greens, so you'd be putting and it'd be a lot easier. And it turned out that way, really, wasn't it? But watching the Masters, Aid, and talking about it with no crowds. It was the weirdest thing ever, wasn't it? I mean, it's such a great event, but with no fans.
No, you're right. And that was a really weird part of it and a negative side to it. But the very fact that I think for most of the year, we thought the Masters at Augusta wouldn't happen. And then you get these 4 days of golf on this iconic golf course and an amazing winner in the end as well. And I just thought, wow, thank goodness they got it all together and they're allowed to put it on because it was great.
Well, it was. The build-up was great. I talked to you about it because I was off that week. I watched every single part of that build-up, hours and hours and hours, from the Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to the start on Thursday, and never switched it off. I was just glued to the television watching the golf. All the build-up was about Bryson DeChambeau and using his longer driver, and he was going to drive 10 of the holes out at 18, and it all turned out rubbish, didn't it? It goes to show in golf, you can talk all you want and you can hit it as far as you want, but if you don't hit it straight, you're not going to win. And I think that's what makes Dustin Johnson so good. He's got so many parts to his game. He's got the distance when he needs it, when it allows. He's got the golfing brain. He plans his way around. And when it comes to putting, he's quite a quick player, but when it comes to putting, he takes his time. And with his brother on the back, for me, that just made it extra special. Because going into this tournament, everybody thought he had a great chance. He'd blown quite a few leads at majors before. But going in, his form was 2 wins, 3 runners-up in his previous 6 starts before the Masters. So pretty good going, isn't it? You've got to be confident going in.
Yeah, he peaked at the right time. 20 under par, won it by 5. Worthy winner, and just great to see Augusta again. Very quickly on the cricket before I get to my highlight. I think at the start of lockdown, we were thinking there wasn't going to be any cricket whatsoever. And they actually got a lot of cricket in the end.
Well, I was convinced we weren't going to get any. I really was. I just thought, how can it be? And if it wasn't for the kind act from West Indies and Pakistan coming over. Yes, England played for all their travel and security and testing. The testing alone for the summer, do you know what it costs? £1 million.
Wow.
For testing. But to live in that bubble life, which they had to do, the West Indies first to come over, such a dangerous time and nobody knew where we was going with this. They came over, successful series for England, successful against Pakistan. And like I say, it would have been a loss of probably about $300 million, $400 million from the ECB if none of those games would have gone on. They ended up losing about $100 million. So all I can do is thank the West Indies and thank the Pakistan cricket boards for sending their teams over to England for them to complete a full schedule.
Yeah, it was. That was good. It was good to watch. My sporting highlight, a little bit bittersweet because it was my first game back after lockdown when the Premier League restarted, Project Restart, and it was at the Amex. And, of course, it's an Arsenal defeat, which made it even better. But it had to be, didn't it? Brighton beat Arsenal 2-1. And the reason, it's not because it's an Arsenal defeat that was the reason. It's because deep into injury time at 1-1, Neil Mopay scored. It's a superb goal, by the way, really well fashioned by Brighton. It's one of the goals that makes you realise why they appointed Potter. They probably don't do it enough, but it was a terrifically worked goal. Great finish from him as well. And when he scored it, it's such a great goal. You think, oh, they've won the game because it's 95th minute. And you're expecting an eruption. And, of course, there was nobody in there.
Mm-hmm.
It was an empty stadium. So, yeah, there's a few shouts from the bench and the players go a bit crazy. But it was such a weird atmosphere.
Early ball up to the edge of the area. Connolly flicks it on. Mopay's in! Mopay wins it for Brighton. What a brilliantly worked goal from the Seagulls. McAllister and Connolly and then Mopay combined superbly inside the box. Arsenal are beaten. Brighton are going to do the double over the Gunners for the first time in their history, and it's their top scorer that's won it right at the death, Neil Mopay.
I think that any football is better than no football at all, but football with fans obviously is better. But that moment in itself, it kind of summed up 2020 in that, yes, football is still very much alive. Football is still brilliant and can capture those incredible moments, but you really need the fans back there.
I was going to ask you that because, I mean, I never went to a game with no fans in, Aid. Obviously, I've been to a game with a few fans in.
Yeah.
Went to watch Bishop Stortford, didn't we? We went together. But what was it like when you went in that first time football was back and you was working? You were obviously excited. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. I remember being on air with you. So what was it actually like to go and see a game as a work, somebody who was working,
yep,
with no fans.
Well, it was very, very strange because so many protocols were in place. You could only walk in this particular section. You had to avoid certain sections because that's only where the players can go, and they couldn't be at risk because they'd been tested and we possibly hadn't. You had temperature checks going on. Brighton and all of the clubs actually have been brilliant on it. They've organised it so well. So it was really impressive, but it just was very strange because you're all spaced out in the media area, and that was enlarged to accommodate everybody. You're all very close to the dugouts as well. And in that particular game at Brighton, Mesut Ozil was a sub. It wasn't the game where he had an umbrella.
Was that the last time he was seen?
No, the umbrella at Southampton was the last time. But he was about three rows in front of us, and Arsenal were 1-1. And you think they need a little bit of magic. And we were all wondering why Arteta hadn't brought him on. And we were saying it. But because there were no fans, it was pretty obvious that he could hear every single word that was being said in the commentary and afterwards as well. So it was a very, very surreal situation. But it was just great. It was great to be back. I was very excited. But I have to say, having watched football with fans and without fans, there's only one winner there. It's got to be with the fans. But I think everybody, and this actually highlighted to me just how important sport is, how important football is for the health and soul of the nation, the mental health of the nation, because you kind of run your diary by it a little bit. Oh, we got them away in a couple of weeks. Oh, we got a midweek game then. That could be a crucial game. You're kind of planning your life around it if you're a massive football fan. So without that, there was kind of nothing really to hold on to or plan your life by, and people lost their way a little bit. So I think that was why we were really calling for football to come back. People were desperate for it to come back. So in the end, we got it back, and it was a dramatic moment in that Brighton game. So, yeah, that was my kind of highlight, but a kind of bittersweet highlight as well. Overall, not been a great 2020 generally. Let's hope 2021 is better.
Well, let's hope so. Towards the end of this year, we've obviously had fans back in. and I've still not been to a game yet. I've not been lucky enough. But again, you've been to a game now with fans in.
Yep.
So you've noticed the difference straight away.
Well, I have. But the first one I went to with fans in on a Saturday was that Millwall game where played Derby. Oh, no, listen, it had everything, really, because there was such a great build-up. They sang the Millwall anthem. The fans being back was so joyous. And then they booed the taking of the knee, and all, you know, it erupted after that. It was an incredible news story. But so it was kind of great, and then it wasn't so great.
But me and you have joked about something separate to that, where we've talked about, with crowds going back in though, Aid, what I've found funny is, but already managers have turned round after the one game and started blaming the fans for getting on the players' back. So soon, they all want fans back, but as soon as they come back, they're moaning about the fans being back.
I do know a couple of footballers, though, who have said they just can't perform at the same level with no fans in the ground.
Mm.
So they are desperate to have fans back. And a lot of footballers were desperate to have football back way back in the summer as well. They were completely lost without it. So let's just hope next year is a whole lot better, Darren.
Let's hope so.
Looking back on a year like no other.
Will you believe it?
2020, the verdict on Talk Sport.
Welcome back to The Verdict 2020 on TalkSport with me, Natalie Sawyer, co-host of the Weekend Sports Breakfast, which you can hear every Saturday and Sunday morning. Now it's about time we hear from the two Darrens of Bent and Ambrose as they had their say on this very unique year of sport.
2020, it's been a crazy year of sport. We know sporting itself stopped for a while due to the pandemic, but it's still been a couple of great moments this year. Definitely my kind of movement in sport for 2020 was the Black Lives Matter movement, which I will get onto a bit later on. But I'm going to let Mr. Ambrose go first. What is yours for 2020?
Like you said, so many things have happened in 2020, but mine, it's kind of, it's sport related, but it's outside of sport as well. So mine is obviously the Marcus Rashford campaign to end child food poverty. I was honoured to be involved in the TalkSport takeover, where a lot of us were involved. I went to the Ipswich depot, and it was a real eye opener, to be honest.
You
it was
said that to me,
we've got young kids ourselves, Daz, and to see what they're doing there. I mean, I think they said 4.2 million children are living in poverty, and they shouldn't go hungry ever.
Do you know what's scary about that? You just said that stat there is that, because obviously, as you said, we've both got young kids, but we don't see it. It's not in our faces.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe when you hear that stat of 4.2 million you just said in child poverty.
You know what?
That goes on.
I was talking about this when I was there. You do know about it. You know it's there, but you kind of put it to the back of your mind because it's not happening to you personally.
Yeah, of course.
We'd never want to see our kids go hungry. You know, I'm sure your parents, my parents struggled when they were young, but we never. So they always put food on the table for us. But your kids go to school and you know the kind of ones that they come home and you know the families that are struggling.
Yeah.
And it does hurt. I mean, it shouldn't be up for debate. Kids shouldn't go hungry.
Yeah, of course.
And for him to get the government U-turn in July, I think it was, what did he battle to ensure free school meals during the school holidays?
Yeah.
I mean, he's awarded an MBE for it. I know you've spoken, maybe he should be awarded a higher accolade.
Of course, knighthood for me.
I mean, it's just fantastic what he's done. I mean, he's recently launched a book club as well to help children as well. So what he's been doing has been fantastic. And after all that, if he weren't putting it on the pitch, he would still probably be getting abuse.
Yeah.
And it hasn't affected him. I mean, he's still got 7 goals and 3 assists in the 13 games he's played so far, including the famous hat-trick at Leipzig. So that is up there. That's got to be up there as my favourite of 2020.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, Rashford, what he's done for the kids, and what I like about what he's also done as well is that even when he's played really well, like you take, for instance, the hat-trick that you said he scored against Leipzig, if you look at his social media post afterwards, it was kind of like, yeah, brilliant, I'm so glad that I've got the hat-trick, but anyway, on to bigger matters, back to the kids. Do you know what I mean?
I think
that kind of shows it, because you know, in them type of situations, a lot of people would have been me, because I've just got a hat-trick, I've just played superbly well. But the fact that he's kind of mineralised the hat-trick and gone, well, yeah, I've scored a hat-trick, but it's not about that now.
Mm.
Let's get back to these kids, feeding the kids.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you're right. It is a massive moment in 2020.
I mean, being there with Fairshare, it showed how much he's helped them, because they've been around for 26 years, I think they said, trying to fight this cause. And not just child food poverty, but every poverty going, they're trying to affect it. But he has brought it to forefront, and he's such a vocal guy now over social media.
Mm.
He's so high profile, and for me personally, I don't know what you think, I'm hoping more high profile people, because he's kind of embarrassed a few people that...
Of course, yeah.
And not so much embarrassed, because no one has really known to do this, but he's kind of used his voice now.
Well, do you know what it is? You're right in what you're saying, but I also think as well is that probably people have tried to use their platforms before, but I think he's not let it go. He's been quite relentless with it, because you know, he got knocked back a couple of times, didn't he, by the government by saying no. Now, a lot of people would have gone, you know what, they've said no, I'll leave it. He didn't stop. He kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why he's got to this stage, because a lot of people would have given up and gone, listen, I can't win. The government's telling me no, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
But he's not taking that, to be fair. Because so many people signed the petition and got on board, he kind of managed to knock down these walls to the point where the government have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, his petition, it's only the fifth in history to pass 1 million signatures. You know, like I said, it's no debate. Children shouldn't go hungry in this country. And he's used his platform and his voice to help that, and he's going to continue to do it, and others are definitely going to jump on board. So he's been the catalyst for it all.
Yeah, I agree. Well, mine's obviously the Black Lives Matter movement. Obviously it started, well, it's been going for a long time. You can go back to the Olympics, Tommy Smith's 1968, when they won their events and they stuck their fists up in the air. You can go back as far as that, but obviously it kind of all came together when the death of George Floyd in 2020, 25th of May, when he was obviously killed unarmed by the police. But it was the way the whole world kind of stood up and came together in regards to the protests. People wanted to boycott the sport. Milwaukee Bucks, obviously, they, when Jacob Blake was the next one to die, I mean, we know there's been a few, but when that was another high profile one, when the Milwaukee Bucks called off their game against Orlando, even though they were in the playoffs of the basketball, they called it off because of what happened in protest. It was like the whole world came together. And I mean, even in the Premier League, everyone taking a knee. That very first game, I think it was after lockdown, was it Aston Villa versus Sheffield United? Yeah. When it was like, whoa, they took the knee and everyone was like, okay, we'll come together.
You didn't know it was going to happen.
You didn't know it was going to happen.
And they all done it, and it was, wow, what's happened here? And
yeah. It was a real eye-opener. It was absolutely superb. I mean, but you're going back again to the 2016 when Colin Kaepernick, he kneeled because he was protesting police brutality. He was a star quarterback playing the 49ers. Hasn't to this day got a job because of, obviously, getting kicked out of the league. Well, not even kicked out of the league, to be fair, just no one wanted to touch him. But now all of a sudden them situations that he was talking about back then have now come to light. Now everyone wants to be a part of him, bringing him into their organisations, wanting to be part of the NFL. And obviously he said no because he's seen this coming. So I think for me the whole 2020 Black Lives Matter movement has been massive, and hopefully going forward, I hope it just doesn't stop. I know the Premier League have got now on their shirts. I think it's no room for racism, I think is the phrase. But as long as it doesn't stop, then we keep going. Then it'll all be for nothing. So I think that it's been superb. That's definitely been my biggest sporting moment, is the Black Lives Matter movement. But as I said, there could have been a number we could have chosen, but to me, that was the most important. But
do you think what the Premier League and all football clubs are doing now will make a change? Because there's been movements, not so high profile as this, but the Kick It Out campaign and stuff, yeah. And that's been going a long, long time. Do you think finally something's gonna change?
I hope so, because you're right. I mean, I used to wear the Kick It Out sweatbands way back in the day. Mm. So, and you talk about, it only seems to be now it's getting real traction. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been going for ages and ages without actually getting anywhere. But the fact that all of a sudden now we get protests, it's on the shirts, it's part of all the adverts on Sky. There's always different things. But I think it was just one of them situations where the whole world kind of came together. Not just black people as well, black, white, all different ethnicities came together. Mm. And are trying to beat this movement now. I don't think you can eradicate it fully, but I think we've taken one giant step in the right direction. So for me, it's such a powerful organisation that I hope continues.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I got asked this, I did a column the other week, and they asked me about this Black Lives Matter movement. And I said, I took it back. You'll remember a game we played for England under-21s in Turkey, and we turned up, we went to look out on the pitch, and it was already full. And the abuse you and the other black players were receiving was disgusting. And for me, to be like best friends with you growing up, it hurt me just as much as it wouldn't be just as much, of course not, but it hurt me a lot that day. And to see it still going on, I'm praying that the again, we talk of platforms, the platforms players have got now, it's coming to forefront, and I'm praying it changes. And I mean, it's down to people like myself who is a middle-aged white guy to educate my children, and hopefully everyone else is doing that.
Yeah.
And we can see an end to this, which has been a long time due.
Yeah, I totally agree. I forgot about that game as well in Turkey. I completely forgot. I always go back to the game in Lithuania, but yeah, you're right. I do remember it now.
See, that shows me that it's happened to yourself and other back players so many times, you're kind of numb to it.
Yeah.
And that stood out in my mind. So for me to remember that now shows how bad that must have been. And it kind of, it didn't affect any of you guys. But I feel now, if we was doing that now in the game, I don't think we'd have played. Yeah, I think we'd have gone into the dressing room and we'd have said, no way. But it didn't happen back then. And I think now, the next stage after the Black Lives Matter movement, I think is people are going to boycott games. And if it comes to that, I'm 100% back in it.
So that's Darren Bent's Boot Room, the fantastic new show you can hear every Sunday evening right here on TalkSport. And from the new boys to a legend of the station, let's check in on Mark Saggers, who's never shy when it comes to having his say on football or on any sport or anything, in fact.
A year of concern, a year like no other, when sporting bubbles meant shutting the door in the fans' face rather than a West Ham's entrance at a London Stadium home Premier League game. Where testing performance meant throat and nose swabs and samples and not noisy saviours. By spring, world sport had all but shut down. Football unfinished, cricket diminished, grassroots rotting. No touch, no feel, no excitement, no when Saturday and game day exclusive comes. A hole in the nation's sporting hearts like no other. We still got to sing every Thursday, and not at the Europa League. We applauded and saluted our heroes, but this time just for keeping our loved ones alive, working up front with no full-time whistle in sight. The NHS, one of the teams of the year. The word performance was swapped for pandemic. We would find a way for football just to survive its already spent-the-money culture with nothing left for this rainy day. Sporting cold turkey this summer was not a pleasant experience. Liverpool Football Club and Klopp and the Kop, they'd been left in their own Premier League purgatory. All but crowned Premier League champions. And yet what if? What if we can't finish the season? What if we can't complete the fixtures? What if we can't lift the title for the first time ever in the Premier League? Liverpool knew that 19 other clubs and their fans would quite happily leave them to walk alone to nowhere man. We turned it around altogether. The sport, the media, the paying public, the fans who would all leave terraces for armchairs or a long drive home with the radio on. The equivalent of canned laughter to make up for no fans at games. I still prefer the real noise, not the players squealing, the managers squawking, and the VAR silencing. And all just in time for Christmas. And a vaccine where the captain's armband goes. We were back. The dedicated few at first, but hopefully more fans as Pfizer and their like do their stuff. A wasteland in early spring that started with pleas of an injection of cash now turned to new green shoots with a needle full of a defensive wall like no other. My two teams of the year, the NHS and Liverpool Football Club, who were incredible and winners of the Premier League. And then there's Marcus Rashford, and he is my sporting individual of this or any recent years, for feeding the tummies of our next sporting generation where the government and the others wouldn't. That's sometimes all you can do. Take it, feel it, pass it on. Not for me, not for you, but for someone, somewhere, one day. Pass it on, boys.
Looking back on a year like no other.
Will you believe it?
2020, the verdict on Talk Sport.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
On DAB Digital Radio and 1089 and 1053 AM, 2020, the verdict on Talk Sport.
This is The Verdict 2020 on TalkSport, and I'm Natalie Sawyer. 2020 has been a huge year for sport and TalkSport's breakfast show, as Laura Woods began to share the load with Alan Brazil by taking the hot seat every Monday to Wednesday. And we can hear from Laura and Super Ali McCoys right now as they gave us their take on sport in 2020.
So it's been a very strange and tough year for everybody up and down the country and indeed all around the world. We've been in lockdown for many months of 2020, and for a few of those, we even lost our sport. As hosts of a show on a sports radio station that, believe it or not, threw up just a few challenges. So despite all of what's happened, still has been a really fantastic year for TalkSport, a brilliant one for us on the TalkSport Breakfast Show as well. A year that, Ali, I'm sure you would agree, we've managed to enjoy thoroughly.
We have. I don't think there's any doubt about that, Laura. The one thing you and I have done, we have thoroughly enjoyed our sport and our radio. But I've got to ask you a question. I'm looking back and I'm scratching my head. You can't see me, but believe me, I am. How did we get through that non-sport period and talk sport?
I think you summed it up perfectly. We made quizzes about quizzes.
We did, actually. In fact, one of the quiz questions was, in what year did the first quiz question start? I'm sure it was something along those lines. We effectively were, you know, flying in the seat of our pants. But we
really
did get
were.
Through it.
We
but
managed to get through it.
I think I can speak for both of us and say how happy we are. We now have sport back and now it looks as though fans are going to go back into stadiums, which is just magic.
I'm looking back at the year and what's happened and some of the great standout moments for a year where we didn't, like we say, have sport for some of it. There was Hamilton tied Schumacher's 7 world title wins. That
phenomenal
massive,
achievement. Absolutely phenomenal achievement. In a year that has brought us so many classic sporting moments, that would be up there.
Definitely. What about Liverpool winning the Premier League after a 30-year wait for a title?
Yeah, but even the way they did it as well, Laura, I mean, fantastic. 30 years was an incredibly long time to wait for a club like Liverpool. Mm. But I thought they didn't have to do it in style. You know, Jurgen Klopp's boys, they played everybody, you know, off the park and just scored goals defensively. They were sound. I just thought, you know, all in all, it was an incredible performance over the season for Liverpool and thoroughly deserved.
Leeds love as it. Well. And Marcelo Bielsa,
we love him, don't
promoted.
We?
We do.
Especially, we do.
Why is that? A soft spot
because
for him.
We've got a soft spot because there's just a little bit of mystique about him. And I think the fact all these players love him kind of draws us to him even more. You know, and I think obviously the story with Leeds being out the top flight. You know, I can remember playing Leeds, you know, when they were champions in the European Cup. And that seems like yesterday, but, you know, out of the league for 16 years and haven't, you know, they've been a breath of fresh air, I've got to say. Winning promotion were excellent, but even back in the top flight, they've just been magic to watch.
Absolutely. Honourable mentions as well. Stuart Broad gets his 500th wicket as well. He's magic. Also on the shortlist for Sports Personality of the Year.
Well, competition's going to be fierce. I mean, Brody, 500th wicket. Him and Jimmy Anderson have just been stalwarts of that England Test side for years and years and years. And there is a new blood coming through. But in many ways, Brody and Jimmy will be irreplaceable. But to get 500 wicket, it was fantastic. And it was a lovely moment. I think you remember. I think his dad, I'm right in saying his dad might have been one of the referees upstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, I would give it a no ball just to wind up. The family dinner might have been interesting at Christmas, you know. Maybe that's just me being mischief making.
Might
but
be you, yeah.
Certainly, what an achievement!
You basically for a whole weekend as well were more stuck to your sofa than you have been throughout lockdown, because Dustin Johnson's record-breaking Masters win was pretty special as well, wasn't it? 20 under.
It was a phenomenal achievement. I remember speaking to Rupert about it at great length. It was one of these performances. Nowadays, when you watch your golf, you think, it was maybe 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 of them, you know, could win it. But from the moment that Dustin Johnson got in front, you just had a feeling, you know, he was playing like the number one place player in the world, and there was just no chance of him catching him. And it was a really dominant and absolutely terrific performance.
Absolutely. Okay, we are going to move on to our favourite moments individually, because we just listed some of the biggest things that happen in the world of sport, but we have our own ones on Talk Sport Breakfast. So Ali, you're going to go first. What's your top pick?
I'm hoping the Talk Sport listeners will let me have a little bit of self-indulgence here in Scotland's qualification for the Euros for Euro 2020. There's no surprise there. I knew you had a fair idea. I was going to pick that. But for us not to qualify for a major championship for the best part of 22 years, there was a feeling amongst the national team where I wouldn't say people were disinterested, but I definitely think the fans had lost their passion a little bit, you know, and just because the results weren't going away, and all of a sudden these lads have brought it back and some with that result in Serbia.
Mitrovic to keep Serbia alive in the penalties. This could be Scotland's big moment. Mitrovic right foot. Saved! David Marshall has done it! And Scotland are heading to the European Championships. The Tartan Army finally mobilised once again. And they will head to Wembley to face England. Scotland have done it remarkably. 5-4 on penalties. David Marshall is engulfed. Alexander Mitrovic, the player denied. And after 22 years of hurt, Scotland are finally going to a European Championships, a major tournament once again.
And not even that, Laura, I just thought the way they performed in that game, and then to go and lead, come back, lose a goal, and then come back again and win it in penalties away from home in Serbia, the whole thing was an absolute fairy tale. And the quality of penalties, oh man, it was absolutely magic. And I've gone on record as saying I stand by it. I'm delighted for the fans, delighted for everybody, supporters. But I'm more pleased for those players. I'm more pleased for the lads, would you? Because having been fortunate enough to play at Euros and World Cups with Scotland, I know what it's like, and it's something as a player and as a person you'll never forget.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased these guys have got an opportunity to sample it.
Well said, Ali. It makes Euro 2020 or slash sort of Euro 2021 now, I think.
Yeah.
Even more exciting for the English fans as well, I think, being in the same group. My one is Marcus Rashford. Obviously has had an incredible
yeah.
year. What he's done and the initiative that he's taken and the steps that he's made to reverse government decisions to try and support families who use free school meals to really basically help their families who are yep. struggling with hunger. He's put his full support behind it, and it's been something that I think has been very unexpected and so welcomed.
Yep.
He's become quite a hero of the nation. So we spent a day, actually, our Fair Share day. Do you remember it?
So we are live from the Fair Share warehouse. We are in Deptford. TalkSport are supporting Marcus Rashford's End Child Poverty campaign.
Hello everyone, Declan Rice here. West Ham United stands firmly behind Marcus Rashford's campaign.
Making an impact as a privileged footballer now for those who are not as privileged is something I think we should all try to aspire to.
Oh, it's been quite an incredible campaign that he's launched there and using his profile for a fantastic cause.
For us, we want to bring people together in this time of need, really, with the pandemic that's happening.
Sometimes you've got to take a step back or reflect. You know, you do have people who are struggling.
Marcus Rashford in particular in this year has been absolutely incredible, keeping pressure on people to try and do the right things and understanding what matters.
Oh, I think he's brought Manchester together. It's united across the city of Manchester at the moment with this charity and with this campaign.
Hi everyone, it's Marcus Rashford. Just wanted to give a big shout out to TalkSport for highlighting the vital work that is taking place across the UK to support our most vulnerable children. It's so important that the child food poverty conversation remains at the forefront of our thinking to support education and understanding. We all play a role in this, and just listening could be your role that you play. So a big thanks to TalkSport, and stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
Oh, it was brilliant.
It was so good. Yeah. Yeah, the warehouse in Deptford. And for me, like, it was just one of those moments, I think, really, because we've been in lockdown, to go down, physically meet people, to see the work that they were doing
yeah.
and how much that work is making a difference for people. It was really touching for me, actually. I found it
yeah.
quite emotional. We spoke to a lot of people, even the factory workers as well that were there that day, the drivers, the volunteers, everyone that just goes and gives their time, you know, they're off their own back without being paid to help people. I just thought it was brilliant to try and help put some sort of support behind it and to raise awareness was really special, I think, to be involved in.
Would you? It was fantastic. I've got to say, I mean, the young man deserves a medal. He's just... You know, in this day and age where a lot of young ones get criticised for this, that and the next thing, social media, you know, some of it justified, but a lot of it not. For Marcus Rashford to come out and do what he's doing and just grab the nation's attention through a really difficult time and give it some real positivity, it's been nothing but fantastic. And then obviously, I said the work he's doing, but I love the fact that the newer warehouse in Manchester is named after his mum, Melanie.
I know,
you know,
isn't that special?
It's not called Marcus, you know, and it's actually a warehouse called Melanie,
yeah,
and that's something about it. But it just sums up. I don't know. Do you know something? I've never met him, but he's one of these guys. You can tell he's just a good sort, and the work that he has done and is continuing to do is fantastic.
Absolutely. So all in all, even though it's been a challenging year, there are still so many positives to take from it. And I get to work with you as well, Ali.
It's magic, and I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I put my cards on the table. I could do without the non-sport shows, because I think Talk Sport is far better with the sport. I don't know whether you'd agree with that.
I agree with you. Fingers crossed that we don't have to do without it again. Ali McCoy, it's been a pleasure.
Magic, Laura. See you soon.
See you soon. Welcome back to The Verdict 2020 here on TalkSport. I'm Natalie Sawyer. Now, I really hope you didn't get any coal on Christmas Day this year. But speaking of coal, here's Andy and the boys from the Sunday Session as he joins Sam Matterface and Perry Groves to tell us their highlights from this year.
My favourite sporting moment of the year
was getting back to work properly, right? So I don't know about you, but when I was in lockdown, Perry and I obviously worked together every weekend anyway, but we were desperate to get back playing football again. And that feeling of going into a stadium and doing the first match, I did Manchester City versus Arsenal, and I think the first goal I commentated on was a Raheem Sterling goal because I just happened to catch it at that moment. They threw to me and moved reports and blah, blah, blah. And it was just a feeling of that, like being in the stadium again.
Here's Sterling into the penalty area. Drops for him inside the six-yard box and he lashes it home from 4 yards out and we have our first goal of the Premier League's resumption.
But actually to do a commentary, which was on the Saturday, the Watford against Leicester game, it was a really important match and we had two really late goals. Ben Chilwell's goal was absolutely fantastic. He hit it from the edge of the penalty area, a volley which knew he ripped the net out. And the feeling of just being at a live football match, commentating for the masses, when a goal like that goes in, to me, was brilliant. I also felt like a bit of a responsibility because there was no one there and I've never really done that before.
Also as well, is it something...
That's about to say, who are you responsible for?
Responsible for conveying it properly.
But also, something that you probably used to take for granted, which was your job, and commentating on goals and, you know, sort of incidents, then you actually think... This is, but I'm pretty lucky. This is pretty good.
Yeah,
you
know, it's just back such to a no, trying to get back to
something
do,
normal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. What made you smile this year in terms of sporting achievement?
Me joining TalkSport.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a sense of irony, or?
What is that? Because you just laugh at me and Perry every week?
No, I enjoy it. I mean, I laugh and smile a hell of a lot more now than I used to. I think obviously what's gone in my life over the last 5 years. To come on and get on board has been really good. It's been really, really enjoyable. So every Sunday, I look forward to coming and have a real
a laugh.
Yeah, for 4 hours. You know, obviously talking about football and general and whatever, but just enjoying everyone's company.
Yeah, looking at me and Perry and thinking, see, things could be worse. It could be one of those two.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It is a little bit unedifying, Coley, to take other people's misfortune and make you feel better. Do you know what I mean? That's not a great human trait,
I know that. A lot of people will sit there and go, you know, well, that's not a sporting thing to look back on. But actually, for you're a sportsman. You're someone whose life has changed because you can't do the things that you used to be able to do because of your illness. And, yeah, it must be... I know that we spoke during lockdown a bit and you were on your own for such a long time. So to be with people, I suppose, in a sense, and be part of this organisation fills you with some sort of satisfaction. And
yeah, but of course. Like I said, for me personally, you know, when you do come away from your sporting career, whatever career it is, you know, to restart again and starting to define yourself in whatever way you want to try and do that. I mean, like you said, the you sat indoors for 14 weeks. You know, you have loads of things that go through your mind.
Head spinning, cogs in your mind, thinking about stuff that you think, what am I thinking about that for?
There you go.
Yeah, little things become
big things.
Huge, don't they? Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a good, real good experience. You know, like I said, I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
You enjoyed the structure? I mean, not saying people listening would think we have any structure, to be honest, but even thinking if there's games on Fridays, games on Saturdays, Saturday afternoons, like Saturday night, match of the day, games on the Sunday, it does give you, I'm talking about personally, it gives you a structure, doesn't it? It gives you like something that you set out, you know what you've got to do.
Yeah, because you're preparing, basically, we prepare as soon as we leave the show on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, so straight away, football's from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, so it's only really Friday we can actually kick back, but then you're saying that there's football again on Friday. So it's all week, so you're always trying to digest things. And then, like you say, on the group chat as well, listening to all the banter on the group chat and what we're looking forward to on the Sunday, I think that's been really good.
What was your favourite sporting moment of 2020 then,
well,
Perry?
Something that made me smile
in
my bones, August the 1st, FA Cup final. Arsenal v Chelsea.
This time, Aubameyang lifts the cup for Arsenal. Record-breaking Arsenal. 14 FA Cup titles over 90 years.
I don't care
what anybody says, right? I'm old school.
If you grind your way to a Jose Mourinho-style win, go on.
Don't care. Trophy. Honestly, it turned our season from being poor, to be fair, into a good season.
It would have been different, though, if Pulisic hadn't snapped his hamstring, right?
But going 1-0 down and then showing a bit of spirit coming back, and everything did go in our favour, let's be fair, but Aubameyang scoring obviously fantastic.
Was that the last time he scored a goal?
Doesn't matter. it doesn't matter.
The one thing about the winning the FA Cup, obviously, is it's just helped Arsenal kick on and go to the next level this season, hasn't it?
Well, we've plateaued just a tad, because we say. But again, Arsenal won the most FA Cups ever. And Coley will tell you, it's all. I'd rather win the FA Cup than come second in the Premier League. And that's old school. I know, because the new fans will say about going in Champions League and you get better players, you might get more money. Mm-hmm. I've always of the opinion that your club's history is defined by the trophies that you win and the memories. And it should be a different memory because no one's there, but Arsenal fans will be together as families. You remember my two boys are massive Gooners. I remember lucky enough to go into the Hull Cup final when you're 2-0 down. And football's all about emotions and memories.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't think you get that emotion, memories, when you come second, third or fourth.
No, not any.
You know what I mean?
So, and remembers losers.
Exactly. And beating your mob makes it even funnier. So that is a memory. Because then it does, you know, when people say, oh, fans, you're getting carried away. Like, doesn't matter what team you support, you're allowed to get carried away. You know, when your team's doing well, because there's enough times when your team are particularly bad, and enough downtime as a fan. If you can't get carried away and have those emotions, go, I'll tell you, we're back, we've got our Arsenal back.
What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, you go, yeah, right, so probably not as good as what we thought we were. But why not have that hope? That's what football's all about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it is.
So that's the Sunday session with Sam Matterface, Andy Cole and Perry Groves, which you can hear every weekend from 1 p.m. right here on TalkSport. Sadly, we are approaching the end of the show. But as we know here on TalkSport, there's no better way to end the day than with the Sports Bar. So let's step in and hear from Andy Goldstein and Jason Cundy.
So, Jay, the game we've chosen was the first game back, the return of the Premier League. Mm-hmm. We've actually chosen a 0-0 draw, Aston Villa 0, Sheffield United 0.
It's more of the significance of the game as opposed to the result. Even though there was some controversy, of course, in the game, that Sheffield United did actually score a perfectly good goal.
Yeah.
That goal line technology wasn't switched on. The cameras, there was some weird excuse.
It was strange.
Now Michael Oliver blows the whistle. Football is back. That's the end of the first Premier League game since the restart. There's no goals at the end of it. Nyland dropped the ball. He caught it at the second attempt, actually. He fell into the side netting. The ball was over the line. And quite clearly, the goal line technology was out of order.
I'm sick of this. These referees, honestly. Just Michael Oliver, just use your brains. The technology is messed up. Use your brains. Go and have a look and you'll see it's a goal. It's ridiculous, honestly. How can they have spoiled? I mean, how could they have spoiled the return to football? Honestly, dearie, dearie me.
And Aston Villa stayed up by virtue of the point they got. If they'd not got that, they'd have gone down.
Which is remarkable.
Which is remarkable. Yeah. But you don't have the game we've gone out.
So can you remember how you were feeling leading up to that day?
Oh.
Because when I saw the games, I was like, Aston Villa, Sheffield United. Usually I go, but I remember thinking, I don't care.
It
makes no difference to me.
Well, you and I were on the back of this game straight up, and Manchester City 3, Arsenal 0. They were the two games that were left over from the previous. They were the ones that had to catch up.
Mm.
It was on a Wednesday afternoon stroke evening, 6 o'clock, as we said. And you and I, we just couldn't wait. And it was a momentous day because we didn't think at one stage that we would see. We didn't know when we were going to see football again.
No.
I can feel myself getting a little bit cold now, actually, just talking about this.
That's because the temperature in here.
Yeah, temperature.
Do you want me to turn it up?
Yeah, turn it up, cold. But I can feel that excitement and the sport that we all love, we thought would be put on hold forever. Mm. We didn't know. Because that time, don't forget, this is the middle of June and the pandemic, we were only out of lockdown not that long.
No.
And you and I were still working from home.
You know what I thought was bizarre as well? Because we're used to it now, there's no fans in there. Mm. That was the first game. We were like, what's it going to feel like? What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? Mm. And I remember, like, for the first 5 or 10 minutes, because you had the option of watching it with or without sound.
That's right.
As in, you know, sound effects. And I remember going from one to the other thinking, oh, I quite like the sound because it sounds like a practice game. You can hear what they're saying. And then after about 2 minutes, I was like, no, I don't like that. Yeah. I remember calling my wife in, saying, have a listen to this. Look, you can hear the players screaming and shouting. Mm. And, of course, it was quite bizarre watching the game without any crowd in there. It was also one of those bizarre moments where you look at the managers and they all had the masks on and the people on the bench. I mean, I know they still do that now, but we haven't really seen professional people do that,
It feels normal now to see people social distancing on a bench. Or sometimes they sit, you know, in the upper part of the lower part of the stand.
And I'm guessing for quite a lot of people, it was quite a significant moment because it was the first time since lockdown that all of a sudden you saw a tiny bit of light at the end of the tunnel where, okay, we're trying to get back to normality now.
Yes. I mean, 100 days it was, exactly 100 days from the last Premier League game. And we, you know, even now we're still slowly but surely. We're still in the tunnel, but there is. He does sense that there is something too far away.
Do you think the players are used to it now?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think they are.
How important? Because I remember watching the game. I still watch it now. And when it's weird because you do Chelsea TV, I do Man United TV. Yeah. And when you're there in the ground, it feels like from the sounds you're hearing from the players, it feels like you're actually there watching a Saturday morning game over the park. And the reason I say that is because I didn't know that all defenders shout clear it or move or step. Yeah. You know, the goalkeeper, you can hear all of that.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
But can you, as you're a player on the pitch and you've got 50,000 people in there, can you still hear all that on the pitch?
Only if they're 10 yards away. You know, but no, you can't hear the manager. No managers shout and scream and point.
You can't hear them.
Not when but they can now. It's no excuse now, is there? Wow. There's no excuse whatsoever. But yeah, a momentous day, and you and I were very much part of that. As I said, we were on the sports bar straight after those two games ended.
And I'll tell you what, Scott, I do remember, because one of the things that I look back at now and think, I didn't even question was when you've got a game of football like Villa against Sheffield United, or the one that we were on the back of straight after City beating Arsenal 3-0, even more so the second one, you've got 50, 60,000 people coming out of a ground.
That's right.
And they're all sat in their car waiting to move. No one can move for like 40 minutes or whatever. And then they've got TalkSport on their radio in their car, and then they phone up.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have any of that.
No, we didn't.
Because no one's obviously, and it's still like that now, but I remember that. We were inundated that night, and we have been every other night. So we're incredibly lucky that people still watch the game at home.
Absolutely.
And then take to the phone, because it could have been a worrying thought that, hold on a minute, where are all these people going?
Yeah, our captive audience are no longer leaving the grounds. But
yeah.
I'll never complain about, an Aston Villa Sheffield United. It's not the most glamorous game in the world, but, that was one of the most welcome sights I think that most football fans have ever seen.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.